Let's move on to the next question for our discussion. So question number two is, how do you remain ambitious while still conscious of building healthy relationships in the home? So how do you remain, sharp and keep that edge of your ambition while still prioritizing family time with your spouse, or if you have children, also with your children? How do you kind of, bring that all together?
Yeah, this, I have a lot to say for this one.
All right. Tell us. Teach us, girl.
So in the first question, Omar and I both admitted that we don't spend time with each other, right? We don't go on those dates. I was going to say this, but I decided not to, and I'm glad that now I have the opportunity to say it. I think what is keeping us together is the fact that Omar and I are like conversationalists. Like we...
Yeah, that's true.
We talk.
That's true. We talk a lot.
Like, you know, we'll be doing household routines and we're in some deep, like, next conversation, yeah. You know, about the future and about the world and society and how it has an impact on us. Mm-hmm. And then it always leads back to our vision and it just re-solidifies
that
the vision.
That happened to us today. This morning. Yeah.
This morning. We did a Bible study this morning, right. An impromptu Bible study, which led to a whole deep conversation about how the Bible studies led to the world and how that impacts our family and why, because of the world impacting our family and the Bible's influence on our family, we want to shape our family in a certain way. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have these conversations a lot, like twice or to three times a week.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, right now, that is the intimacy that Omar and I are holding on to by like a string. Like that's what's keeping that's what's keeping us together. If it wasn't,
don't say a string though. That sounds bad.
It's not a string. But I'm just trying to convey the idea.
At least say it's a rope. It's not a string.
Okay.
It's unless a rope. To you is a string, and you're not just telling
me. It's a very strong and sturdy rope.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. Because right now those dates are not happening, right? And so that form of intimacy is what's keeping us together.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we have those conversations, of course, conversations of ambitions come up, right? And it allows us to remind each other of the ambitions we have and how it ties into the conversation and ties into our faith and the vision and the world and all of that. And so, I would say it's the intimacy of conversation that keeps us balanced or ambitious. Yeah, what's the question again?
Sorry, did I distract you there?
So that's actually what keeps us ambitious. And this is another point I wanted to add. Becoming a mom, I have really, really taken upon the responsibility of becoming a mom very seriously.
Yeah.
Like I put all my eggs in the basket of being a mom.
Yeah.
To the point where like I've lost myself a little bit. I've lost the dreams that I used to have for myself, the ambitions I used to have. But I'm glad that I shared those dreams and ambitions with Omar. Because when we do have those conversations, he always brings me back to remember that dream you had or remember that ambition. And this is how this dream or ambition can play into the vision for the family, you know? But it does happen. And I know I'm speaking from a woman's perspective, but men as well. Some of you may take or may just have so much of a burden on your shoulders to provide for your family and be the best leader that you can be that you've forgotten the vision that you had for yourself or the ambitions you had for yourself. And I would say, trust your wife or woman, trust your husband to keep you accountable to those ambitions.
Right.
So that when you have your intimate moments, when you go on your dates or when you have your intimate conversations, they will come up.
Yeah.
And that spouse will remind you of that passion that you had for that vision.
Yeah.
And that's how I believe you can keep yourself ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've lost it sometimes and Omar has always brought me back, encouraged me, and I keep on going and I keep on pushing.
Yeah. No, that's really good. That's really good. I think that's so key, is to be able to have a partner, a spouse, I don't know, partner, spouse that pushes you, that really, really realigns you when you need it. Because I think that happens to everyone in life, right? You kind of get distracted. You kind of get carried away with the busyness of life, the ebbs and flows of life. And you just forget what you're doing, why you're doing it. And I think it's really important to have that spouse to remind you, like, this is what you told me that you wanted to accomplish. And I really see this for you. You are this. You can be this. But let's just take our time and keep pushing ourselves. Yeah, 100%. I fully agree with that. And I think that that is a deciding factor. And even if you're not married, I feel like even if you're single, having a friend, having a brother, having a sister, a cousin, an uncle, someone from your church, a mentor, someone that can keep you accountable to what you said you want to do and to the time that you want to accomplish it by too. I think that's important. Because a lot of times, you know, we make excuses for ourselves, or sometimes other priorities actually come up and they kind of take over our life, whether it's for a season or whatnot. But we have to always have someone to kind of realign us and say, hey, like, didn't you say you're going to finish this by this time? You know what I mean? Didn't you say you're going to do this by this time? Didn't you say you wanted to do this, but I don't see you making any steps or strides or efforts toward this? I think that's really, really key. I think that's really key. That's good. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was really good wisdom. I feel like I didn't even share on that. That was good. That was all you.
Oh, thank you.
Look at you taking over the podcast.
No, it's just this God-given wisdom, you know?
Come on, girl.
It's never me. Trust me. I don't know anything.
No, that's good. Really appreciate you, man. That was really, really good. Really good wisdom. Okay. So we are going to go down to the third point and the final point of this episode, and I think it's something that's really key to kind of wrap up on. As much as ambition is good, it's important. I believe in ambition. I believe in having goals and striving to achieve something. However, I think it's important that we're careful that ambition does not become a small g god in our lives and even in our families. And I think that that's something that can happen very, very easily to, if you're single, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're a parent, it doesn't matter. Ambition can very easily become a god in your life. Very, very easily can become a god in your life. And one thing, one practice that I've done, right, throughout my life is, any ambition that I've had, I've always sacrificed it on the altar before God.
So let's talk about that. What does that mean to sacrifice an ambition on the altar? Because for those of us that are not Christians, like, I'm sure we're just thinking about that physically. Like, okay, I take my ambition and I
put it on. Okay.
Let's talk about that.
That doesn't make sense. Okay.
Let's unpack that.
All right. So,
there's some Gen Z terms that just like,
straight me. So basically what I'm saying is any ambition that I have, right? I always like to take it to God in prayer and say, Lord, is this really what you have for my life? And as I'm praying this, my heart's posture is if I feel led to drop this now, I would drop it. As much work as I've put into it, as much effort as I've put into it, as much preparation as I've put into this, if this is not what the Lord has for me, I'm ready to drop it this instant to take what he has for me. Because I think with ambition also comes this creation of ideas of what your life can look like, of what you can hopefully possess one day in life, of what you can be, the influence that you can carry, you know, the places you can go. And that can be dangerous, because once those get deep and sunk into your heart, that can now become your guiding light in life. And if that becomes your guiding light, as opposed to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, that's where you will now find yourself in idolatry. Because you're making decisions, not serving God, but serving yourself.
Wow.
And you know the tricky thing about this is? It could even be an ambition that comes from the Lord, but can turn and spin into yeah. something because you've decided to imagine yourself in a certain way while doing this for God.
Yeah, that scenario is what I'm used to.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what can happen if we're not careful. And that's why you have to be able to drop something in an instant to say. And I think of the story of Abraham and Isaac, the promised son. Right? Abraham and Sarah were promised a son. They waited years and years and years and still nothing. Until the day they said, you know what? Let's help God. Let's bring Hagar in the room. Abraham, do your thing. And then they had Ishmael, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm not going to get into the details of the story, but then all of a sudden, Isaac is now born from Sarah, the promised child. And this promised child that they've been waiting for, that they even tried to go ahead of God and fulfill the promise on their own, this same son, God says, sacrifice him on the altar. Mm. My goodness. Can you imagine? This is something you've been waiting for. This is something you've been praying for, seeking for. You hear it in church all the time. Wait on the promise of God. I'm going to wait on you. The songs in church. We sing these songs and we encourage ourselves with the promises of God. And this same promise of God, he's now, this same God that promised you is telling you to sacrifice the promise, basically. Like, are you willing to sacrifice the promise for another direction that God is taking you in? Now, the story, if you don't know the Bible story, Abraham doesn't end up killing Isaac. Isaac lives. I'll say that just to kind of fill it in. But I think it was a test of obedience and a test of faith for Abraham, right? Where God is really saying, are you really going to listen? And especially after the fact that they tried to fulfill the promise on their own, God is like, yo, are you really going to listen to me? Or are you going to try and do your own thing in this life, bro? You know, and so I think it comes to us now. Obviously, that's an extreme case. That was a human being that they were ready to sacrifice in that context, in that historical time. Today, that same promise, that promised child might be a job. It might be a career. It might be a business or success in your business. It might be a certain dollar amount per year. It might be a spouse. It might be a literal child. It might be, you know, working at a certain place, a certain company, working in a certain environment. It could be anything. It could be anything. Are you willing to sacrifice that thing for obedience to God if he were to call you away from that? And I think that's where you can really test out whether your idolatry, you really do have idolatry in your heart toward ambition, and you've replaced big G God with a small G God. You know, and we've had conversations where, like, I've even gotten to a point where, you know, in my life where, and I'll be transparent about this, where I didn't really have a vision for my career in life. And I remember telling you that and you were kind of like, what?
Yeah, I was looking at him sideways.
Yeah, like, but thankfully, by the time we had gotten married and everything,
yeah,
that changed very quickly.
Come and see Omar. This man has changed.
Yeah, honestly, God has changed
me. The Lord has done a work on him.
But I really believe that this is what God can do with a yielded vessel.
Yeah, that's right? True.
And it's only because I decided to yield. Like, I didn't really have an ambition, right? Now you can say that's because of laziness, probably, most likely, and not applying myself in school and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't necessarily have a vision and ambition for my career. And to see how God has taken me in a direction now where it's kind of like, I didn't even see myself working in this career path, right? But it's now I have the most ambition for this career path, right? But I'm still trying to keep that heart posture of, Lord, if you call me to quit today, to tell me to go do something, I might think about it, I might pray about it, but you know what I mean? Obedience is the goal. Obedience is the goal, right? If God, if you call me away to do something else for my career, you know what I mean? Obedience is the goal, right? And I think that has to be paramount in our lives. No matter if you're single, if you're married, if you are a parent, obedience to God must be the goal. Because if you are carrying ambition as your idol, that ambition will ruin you. Because the moment that something happens to you, your hope was in ambition. And that's when people get mad at, angry at God and think that God disappointed them. When in actual fact, that ambition was their God. That career was their God. And when it fell through, now they're blaming Big G God for it when it wasn't even his plan for their life.
I have a question for you. What are some practical signs or tangible signs that one can notice when their ambition has become an idol? Because you talked about the ambition becoming the idol, mm-hmm. like that process. Mm-hmm. But what are some signs?
So I think a sign that ambition has become someone's idol is when they can't even weigh options. Like, this is all they want to do with their life. And I'm not saying this is every case, obviously, right? Like, I'm not trying to be black and white about this. However, I think it's a good telltale sign that someone has made ambition their idol by their, like, the fact that they don't even... And this is going to be something where it's a personal thing, right? Like, you can't depend on other people to kind of tell you that, oh, this is an idol, unless God reveals it to them and tells you. But if you find that you're not praying about decisions anymore and you're just acting upon, well, this is where I know I'm headed. So, or, you know, I really believe that that's a telltale sign that you really don't rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit for your decisions. Opportunities pop up and you say, well, no, I know this is where I'm headed, so I'm going to take this opportunity. Well, is it really where God actually wanted you? Right? And I'm not trying to discourage people from taking opportunities of promotion. Listen, I believe in promotion, right? Promotion is biblical. It's all over the Bible. It's in Daniel was promoted, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys were promoted. Joseph was promoted in script. Like, promotion is biblical. But what I am trying to say is, when you lose that fear of God to say, is this where God is leading me? If this is not where God is leading you, you would never know it. You'd miss it because you haven't inquired of him. Mm-hmm. You haven't inquired of him. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and I can't remember exactly where it is. I want to say it's in one of the book of Kings, the first or second Kings. But it's when David was ruling, and David was the king of Israel, and we all know he was a mighty man of war. That man won war after war. But the thing about this story specifically is, David had an opportunity to go and engage in war with another nation. I can't remember. I have to brush up on this scripture. I love it so much when I read it because it just showed David's real dependency on the Lord. Mm-hmm. David's army in that time was, I want to say, probably U.S. Army level. If you could compare it to modern day. Like, this guy didn't lose, bro. But yet still, he had the humility to seek God and say, Lord, should we pursue them? Because if you don't send us, basically, his attitude and heart posture in that was, Lord, if you don't send us, we're not fighting. Because I'm not trying to go to battle without you. Right? And so the story was, yes, the Lord said, go and pursue. And they pursued and they won. They took over, of course. And I think something just popped in my mind there. It's that heart posture towards the Lord that you lose when ambition becomes your idol. That heart posture to say, Lord, should I pursue this opportunity or should I stay back? I know I'll be making maybe 10K more per year. I know I'll be making a little bit more per hour, but should I pursue? I know I should, you know, this person seems like the right person for me. Should I pursue them or is it the wrong person? Are you willing to stop and inquire of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Inquire of his will for your life. Inquire of the decisions that you're making. Right? Lord, this business decision, if I decide to partner with this person, it looks like all everything makes sense on paper, but is it your will? Are you willing to inquire of the Lord despite what it looks like? Right? This ministry opportunity, going into ministry with this individual or taking this open door to go and preach at this place, this huge platform. Will you inquire the Lord, even though it looks and makes sense to your flesh? And I think that's where we can discern. And again, it's a personal thing because no one's going to tell you unless the Lord reveals it to them to tell you. You have to know and reflect on for yourself to say, am I going to inquire the Lord of this? And I think that's how you can know whether ambition has become your idol or not. And it's tricky because it's something subtle. But you have to continue to walk with the Lord daily and say, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to walk with you. I want to do your will. And so you're always checking, right? You're not just going based off of, you know, what you thought, you know, whenever, but you're checking every day, Lord, inquiring, is this what you have for me? Is this what you want for me? Is this the open door that you have for me? Did you open this door? If not, I'm not moving. You know, the Bible says that Moses said when they were headed through the wilderness, he led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, because Moses inquired of the Lord and said, Lord, where should we go? Should we go? We won't go anywhere unless you go with us. And that's what the Lord did. He showed up as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Because, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not stepping foot in that place. I'm not going to partner with that person. I'm not going to engage with this person romantically in any way unless you go with me, unless you go ahead of me. Mm. And I think that's when you can know. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. What you desire, you think it could be a good thing, but the Lord knows the perfect will he has for you. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to submit to him always, man. Yeah. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
That's about it for our discussion. Balance and the ambitious family. If you came here hoping for, you know, tips and tricks, hey, sorry, man. We ain't got the answers, Sway. How, Sway? We ain't got the answers. but I hope it was fruitful nonetheless. I hope that it was relatable. I hope that it was something that you could touch, something that's human that you could touch, you know. And I really, really pray and hope that you're encouraged by this, that to know that although things might not be panning out and working out as you would hope in the timeline that you hope for or in the way and the fashion that you would hope for. However, I would say to continue to be ambitious. It's so funny. I just finished talking about ambition being your idol. And now I'm going back to talking about ambition. Ambition is not the evil. It is not evil. It is not of the devil. Ambition is of the Lord. I believe progress is of the Lord. It's funny, there's a saying that I think some old friends used to say. They said, forwards ever, backwards never. And that's something that I really believe in, according to the Lord's will. But yeah, keep that ambition, man. Keep fighting, keep grinding at your own pace. And I think seeking balance in the midst of it all is the most important thing, because, you know, you can go for all you want to go for, sacrifice yourself, kill yourself. And then, you know, 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later, realize that you missed a lot.
Yeah.
You missed a lot and you messed up on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So really fight for balance. It's a fight that you got to fight for, but fight for it. But yeah, that's it. That's it. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. This episode, Phoebe, thank you for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, like I always say.
Man, it's such a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for your wisdom. Yeah, man, you're a gem, and I appreciate you. Love you.
Love you too, thanks.
All right, enough lovey-dovey stuff. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in again, and I will see you next time.